didn't set up the previous stuff with those that were already speaking, because if you want a title for this, it's called The Divine Dance or Encounter. I wanted to use some of the scriptures that Bruce had already used and just look at them from a different perspective. We're talking about proclaiming the kingdom. We're talking about what it is that the Lord is wanting, or what the Father is wanting to do upon this earth. And just for the sake of Bruce and me, I will set this so that I try not to go over 15 minutes. And for those who know me, know that that will be a miracle. Okay, we're going. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have to do it yet. I'm going to pray first. I'm not going to, that's part, not part of the teaching. Father, you're awesome. And what a privilege that I might be able to share how absolutely incredible you are. You're not the Father who wants to discipline us. You're the Father that wants to love us and hold us and show us so many things. So I ask that the hearts of all of your kids would be open to hear, not from me, but they might hear from you. That your love would go forth in such a way that it would melt their hearts. It would just cause them to, as Kelly said, to take this fire and ignite it so that your kingdom will come upon this earth in accordance to your will. Amen. Matthew 6, 9, 10, that's where Bruce started, and that's where I will start. Our Father who's in heaven, it's an invitation from him. He's wanting you to set your focus on him. What do you want to do today, Daddy? What are you wanting to do in my life? What do you want to do with these people that are here and there? What encounters, because it's called the divine dance or encounter. And I pray that your eyes would be open to see, not just today, but every day from now on, what the Father has for you for today to bring about his kingdom. May your holy name be honored. May what we do, may it honor him. May your kingdom, his kingdom, not ours, not our way, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will, his timing, his way. Bruce has already said it, and that's why we haven't compared notes. Christ's work on the cross has brought us back into a right relationship with the Father. Yep, there's still stuff in our life, and if I have time, I'll actually hit some of that, but we may not even get to that, which is fine. But in this thing that God is wanting to do, I wanted to go to Ephesians 3:10. His intent was that now, through the church, that's us, that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realm. When he lays things on our heart to speak, the things in the heavenly realm have to obey. Not our thoughts, not our opinions, but out of our relationship with him, there are things in on his heart he is wanting to have spoken, and it'll take come to pass. According to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished, past tense, in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Our faith comes by hearing from him. When we speak out of that relationship of what he's laid on our heart, or we bring things to him to lay out and say, what about this? What about that? Listen for what he has to say. Okay. This divine dance or encounter between our Creator, our Father, and his children, his sons and daughters, is about to make a shift, a new song under the new covenant, the new life, and adding with it, with a fire. Fire in these last days that will burn up, yep, the stuff that's off in our life, but it'll be a fire that'll go forth to do what it is that God's wanting to do. With a new, fresh outpouring and a restoration back to the original dance. And that's where I'm going to take us to next. Let's go back to the original dance. Before it even began, God did not want to establish his kingdom on his own, so he created man. As Bruce said, he wants us to be a part of it. He needs us. That's his heart. Not as just a little bit of a part. No, he's wanting us completely involved. Psalm 139, 15 through 16 says, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All of the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He's already seen your life. He's already written it down. And he is excited to see it come about. He's wanting to be a part of it. He didn't write himself out of your story. He is your story. The Father has thought through everything he is wanting to create for his sons and daughter that he's about to call forth. This is before there was anything. Before the day of creation, he's already thought it all through, written everything all down. He knows exactly what he's wanting to do and what he's wanting to give to us. So today is the day. He's excited. He's about to see the manifestation of what has been set upon his heart, in his mind, and his soul. His son's waiting for the go-ahead. The Holy Spirit is hovering, waiting to be released. The beginning of the establishment of his kingdom on earth through us, his creation. The time has come. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. When I first read this many, many, many years ago, I wanted to see what it was like. So if you want to close your eyes, ask him to show you what was going on. Now, I've come across this scripture probably over 100 times, and every time I read the first part of Genesis, I get something new and different. And I got something new and different this time, and it was actually one of the songs that we had. So in Genesis 1 and 2, the Son is looking to the Father, waiting for the go-ahead, and then it happened. Let there be light. I have the privilege of being able to look at the meaning of light through all of Scripture as you do. Light is revelation, it's wisdom, it's understanding. It's the very essence of who God is. So before there was anything else created, God released himself and all that he is, all of his goodness, all of his faithfulness, his love, everything that he is, so that when he created it, he would be the very thing that would hold everything together. That's why it says, he holds it together. He is in all and everything. Let that sink in for a bit. That's why the stones can sing, the leaves can clap, the animals have their own. He wanted so much so that no matter where you looked, you would see him. But something's missing if you're going to have a dance. So we had to make the dance floor. And he began his creation. And so I'm not going to go through all of the scriptures, but he created the earth. He created the heavens. The thing that's interesting about the heavens is that I know that someday in the future, the bridegroom and his bride are going to have a bridal dance. And in my early years, he gave me a glimpse of he and his bride dancing through the heavens. So the first that he made was the heavens. So can't describe it, can't say much more about it, other than one day I shall dance with my king in the heavens of his creation. But the rest is what we call earth. And so therefore, we've created the earth, we've made it formless, we've done the vegetation. Well, we need food while we're having the dance. You know, you have to have a place to dance. He puts these stars and the moon and the sun in place because you have to have mood lights, right? You need to have some sort of an atmosphere to be able to dance. All the seed-bearing trees and everything else, because you have to have something to eat because you're going to get worn out, so that's all necessary. So gone through that, very good, okay. And then he started creating the living creatures. Okay, so the birds and the seas, well, maybe we're going to have fish at the, I don't know, whatever. But so all that's being done. But as soon as he starts creating the birds, we start adding more sounds to it. So you have to have background music, right, while you're dancing and that kind of stuff, right? Okay, all right, I'm getting this. Now, I know this is a stretch, but that's okay. Just go along with me, okay? And then he begins to create all of the livestock and the other creatures and everything. The interesting in saying that, and that's why I came up with the first conclusion. I'll go back because I saw that it was highlighted. Day one and two, there was no mention of, and God saw that it was good. Didn't happen the first 2 days. I couldn't understand how come. And then all of a sudden, I realized what I had just said, because he released his goodness in everything that he has done. He doesn't have to say this is good because he is. But the other days, I got a picture of this and I thought it was kind of neat. We know that the Father is involved in creation and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But I saw when it said, and God saw that it was good, it was like they did what they did. There was a pause. They collectively came together. This is good. And he did that for each day after that. But again, in keeping with the kingdom of God, they made a proclamation that that which they created, this is good. It cannot be changed. It is undeniable. So no matter what you think of yourself, his proclamation over you is you are good. Okay. And then he shifts things up, because he doesn't do things, and this is, I'm wanting to give you some principles so that you can understand, when you come to the Father and ask, what, you know, how do you want me to pray, realize he's not going to do it your way, and often he doesn't make a whole lot of sense, okay? So, Genesis 2:7, we're about preparing for the first dance or encounter. The Lord formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The first gift to man was the breath of life. The Lord took the man, in Genesis 2, 15 through 17, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Second gift, he gave him creation. He is wanting us to rule over his creation out of relationship with him. So, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's how he's wanting it to be done. But he's wanting us to enjoy and be a part of it. And then God says this interesting statement, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So what does he do? Does he make Eve right away? No. So I don't know if God's talking to himself or he's talking to Adam, but Adam's there. Okay. It's not good for you to be alone. I'm going to make you a suitable helper. Okay. So what does he have him do? He brings all the animals before him and says, let's name them. Imagine having written all of the books of everything. And you're waiting for the play to play out, except it's not a play. You're waiting for the reality to take place. This is it. The Father has been waiting for this day. Adam, come on. I got all these animals. Let's name them. And I don't believe it was, okay, we've got one day. Let's hurry up. Right, what's this? No, it's, so what do you think? Yeah, how about that one? He had his first encounter with man and was enjoying it. He'd been looking forward to it since he wrote it. This is it. I'm excited about this. But he had a reason for it. So Adam's doing all the stuff that he's naming them, but I'm assuming they're coming two by twos, and eventually he gets to the mammals, okay, and he's going two by two, male, female. Something's different. I don't know what's, but something's different between the male and the female. And it's going and going. And eventually he realizes, boy, something's different. We're all done, and no suitable helper was found for him. I'm already supposed to be done? Oh, wow. Okay. So much for that. Well, then we'll finish up where we're at. So it's okay. God needed to work Adam through that process so that he could see that he needed someone. He needed Eve before he had to have that in his heart that I need a helper. Everybody else has got one. I don't. And then God prepares a special one for him and brings it to him and presents it to him as a gift, third gift. The whole point of everything that I went through is that when you come to the Father with your concerns, you see with the way the state of the world is and how this is, don't try to figure it out. I know the scriptures. I know which ones I can pull and use here and use there and use there. And you may very well use those scriptures, but out of your relations, something will rise up and he will say, speak this. The other aspect of bringing the kingdom upon the earth, and the scripture's there, but I will finish with this. He's wanting you to enjoy the life that he's given you. There's all kinds of things God is wanting to do through us to bring about his kingdom, but he's also wanting to establish his kingdom in you. And sometimes that is done by something as ludicrous as, let's go name the animals and make fun of the ones that you think are weird, and on and on and on and on and on. He will orchestrate circumstances in your life to talk to someone that makes no sense. I only give one story because it's probably the most bizarre ones that I had. I'm wanting you to go to Menards. I don't have anything to get at Menards. I go to Menards and say, well, I guess I can get some garbage bags, okay? Standing at the garbage bags, and another guy's there. And which mill do you get? Do you get this mill? That's kind of thing, but cheaper. You get this. And so I'm talking to the guy about garbage bags and why you would get this one and that one. And then he says, you know, the world is so messed up, there's no answer for it. Well, you know what happened then. The Lord has commissioned us to bring the gospel to those that are out there. No, I'm not an evangelist. But I have stories of how incredibly good my God is. This doesn't, he didn't fall down on his knees and gave his life to the Lord. No. But hopefully he got a glimpse of what I'm trying to give you a glimpse of. The Father loves you. I do have one other statement, only because I did pretty good, really. When the Father looks at us, he only sees what's right. He's not concerned about any of the stuff that's off. That's his Son's responsibility and the Holy Spirit's responsibility. They're the ones that are going to bring this salvation about, so eventually all of the faults that you see in my life, they will disappear because he said so. But when it comes to the Father, all he sees is that he's wanting to bring me from here to here to here to here, then to here, then to here. And all he sees is who he's made me to be, and this may come as a surprise to you, he is God. He's going to accomplish this thing that he's wanting to do in you. For his glory. But for your enjoyment. So with that, Father, I guess that was all you wanted, and that is fine. May we fall more and more in love with you each day. May we see the things that we viewed before as setbacks, as challenges and ways in which we can know you better. May you open up our eyes that we would see your love for us and never sway. Once again, for your glory, amen.